desire the prayers for the Lord to bless us here tonight. I expect it to be so. We have been having on our heart a burden for the subject of deliverance. And this will be the third message. And I'm thinking that if deliverance were not the plan of God and His purpose, where would we be? We would be of all men most miserable. We would be hopeless. Where would we be if we did not have salvation? Salvation is deliverance. I'm going to give just a little review to tie it in with the little message tonight. The first message was on divine deliverance through the gospel message. We might think of the word gospel and not really relate it to the message. We might say, well, the gospels are the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they are. They're wonderful books that give us wonderful messages, because they are telling us of the one that has brought to you and me deliverance. That has brought you and me to true salvation. The key scripture that we were impressed with on the first message was that He is able to deliver to the uttermost. He is able to deliver completely. A lot of times people doubt that. They try to say, well, I'm not perfect. Well, I'm human. And we are human. But if we did not believe that Jesus died to save sinners, where would we be? He died to save men from their sins, not in their sins. He died to save men and make them a new creature. Yes. We believe that, don't we? Yes. We have taken the word of the Lord, and it speaks about the old man, that it is passed away, and the new man is in Christ Jesus. I'm thinking a little bit also of how that everything we're going to say tonight is not new. In reality, it's old. It's been around for centuries, for thousands of years. The gospel message was the hope of God for mankind. And He knew that man could not save themselves. But oh, to have a hope tonight that Jesus came and gave His life, and we can still plead the blood. We don't look at it as gruesome and a word of horror, and some people, they almost faint when they see blood, but you and I can look upon this blood as the power that is there to save us from our sins. Thank the Lord. So, we also spoke in that particular little message about godly repentance and how that it's not just a simple... Oh, it can be simple. It can be easy. when you believe and when you pray the prayer of faith, when you repent with godly repentance, with true repentance. But if we fall under something that is just a little bit shallow, the world seems to think that, well, if you just believe, then you'll be saved. Well, it's true, we must believe, but we must be sorry for our sins. We must see our sins as exceedingly sinful, that it separates me from God, and that He has a plan to redeem me and to reconcile me to the Father, and I can be in unity with the Spirit of God, and I can be blessed. And I can have that pack that was hanging on my back, such as Christian, and it can fall off into that abyss, and I will not bear it any longer. Thank the Lord. And He will forgive and forget. That is the beauty of His plan, that He casts my sins as far as the east is from the west, and that He remembers it against me no more. I may remember, but He will not remember my sins any longer. Thank the Lord. That's a wonderful plan. So I'm thinking of the second message. We had a scripture in Psalm 68 and 20. And I'm going to give you the phrase that out of the King James, but I want to give you a couple of more translations that have blessed me and inspired me. But it says, He that is our God is the God of salvation. He's our God. Thank the Lord. So another translation says, God is the God of victories. And then the one that impressed me the most for the series of messages was, God is to us a God of deliverances. You know, that's plural. He doesn't intend to just forgive you of your sins and set you free and then walk away and that's the end of it. It's not the end. It's only the beginning. Because man needs many deliverances down through life. And that particular message, we used this phrase. We said deliverances is His trademark. This second message dealt with all forms of addictions. And oftentimes we think, well, if you're addicted to something, you can't be free. You will be an addict as long as you live. And the world says that. There are organizations that those who are under the bondage of alcohol, they will say, you will always be an alcoholic. You just simply come to our meetings and stay dry and you'll be delivered. But they don't give them hope of a true deliverance. They tell them if you ever take one taste again, you'll be back under that thing. But God has deliverances for addictions in this world. And you and I must look away from what the world will say about addictions, and we must have a hope that God has all power in heaven and in earth, and He has power to give to you and me, that we will not be under the power of any addictions. And there's many. And we talked about a number of different ones in that particular message. So Philippians 1 and 6, it goes back to partly to the original burden of the scripture that he is able to save to the uttermost. But Philippians 1 and 6 was also given, he which hath begun a work in you. Has God begun a work in you? Is it finished? I believe that he is able to complete the work throughout our lives to the end. I believe that every day that he has the power to give to me, that I can rise above the sins that I once partook of. You've heard me say this before. I have been in Walmart with background music and a song come up that was a theme song of a movie that I might have seen. I did see, not might have, I did. Now, I could let my mind go back and I could allow that to replay in my mind. That's what happens with these kind of things. But as I'm walking through Walmart, I'm crying out to the Lord. I'm rejecting that memory. And I'm saying to God, Lord, I still am sorry that I partook of that thing. It's not that God has not forgiven me. It's under the blood. But I don't want to entertain it. I don't want to make place for it. I play a part in my deliverance. I could go back to that thing. I could resurrect that sin. Can that happen? It can. We have choices every day. God says, I'm setting before you today life and death. And I want you to choose life. And by choosing to say, I still am sorry, not that I'm repenting again, it's a rejection of that thing that once was a big part of my life. This is what he wants us to demonstrate in our deliverances from sin. So the scripture says, he has begun a work in you and me, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's where our hope is that he's still helping us and working. And we have the little song that we sing, he's still working on me. He works on me every day. He works on you every day. He helps us to choose life. Thank the Lord. So God is to us. We're going to hold on to this scripture. God is to us a God of deliverances. Now we want to do John 3 and 17. And it says that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Do you think that God came or sent Jesus to condemn the world? Do you have that thought in your mind? Sometimes I have. I mean, it looks like that the whole world is worthy of condemnation and judgment. I'm looking on. I'm seeing the people running to and fro and living a life of sinful pleasure. And in my mind, I might say, well, they're worthy of judgment. But God had a higher purpose. He said, I did not send Jesus to condemn the world. I sent him to save the world, to deliver the world. That's what his purpose was. So he said that the world through him might be saved. That's his purpose. Well, when we think of the gospel and how that God is able to deliver from from all manner of sin and addictions. And we know that Jesus came to save the lost. And I had to say he also came to keep the saved. So our thought tonight is concerning the saints. What can the Lord do for the saints? Is he still a God of deliverances along your path in your life? You haven't come to the end. I haven't come to the end. And yet he came to keep me and he came to deliver me all along the way. So I have a scripture now in 2 Peter 2 and 9. And I'm just going to give you a portion of it for the beginning. It says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly." So that tells me something. He knows how to deliver the sinner, but he knows how to deliver the saints. He knows how to deliver the godly all along the way. And the scripture supports it. Jesus was sent to deliver mankind, whether they're a saint or a sinner. Deliverance. Deliverance has always been and will always be his trademark. It will be from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. The subject is so large that we cannot possibly cover it tonight. You and I have so many things that we can look to and read, examples, individuals. We could name them out, how they were delivered after they were made into a new creature. They had places that they had to find God's deliverance. When I think about David and the book of Psalms, there is so much in Psalms about deliverance. When you consider Psalms predominantly, it is about David's prayers and a lot about praise. But when you think of the verses that might say, they might start out like this. "Deliver me, O God." How many times have you read that in the Psalms? That's a prayer. And you and I, no doubt, have used those words in our prayers. I have. "I pray, deliver me from," and you can put anything in there behind those words, and it will be right. And he will have the ability to deliver. When you're passing through a dark place and you go before the Lord and you say, "Deliver me from this darkness." Can he do it? Will he do it? Does he do it? The answer is a resounding yes. Thank the Lord. He is able to deliver. He knows how to deliver the godly. That's you and me. So David said it in many places. He said, "Deliver me, O God, from," and sometimes he would say, "from my enemies." Sometimes he would say, "from the evil." And from those that hated him and those that wanted to destroy him. Let's turn now and read some scriptures in Psalms. Psalms 18, we're going to read between 17 and 21. It says, "He delivered me from my strong enemy." You know, David had some physical enemies. You and I may have some spiritual enemies. I have been praying against some spirits that come from the pits of hell. Do you pray against spirits? Did you know it's very effective? It's very effective for you to identify those spirits, to name them out, to call them what they are, and to pray against them. I have been going a step farther of late. Instead of just identifying them as spirits, I'm calling them demons. I believe we're in a time that there are many demons that are hatching out in the very pits of hell and are going out into the earth and is trying to attach themselves to individuals, and they are attacking the people of God to try to destroy. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. I know that. But David said, He delivered me from my strong enemy. And it could be a demon from the pits of hell. And from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. I want to tell you tonight, the devil hates you. He does not have one speck of love for your soul. He hates the people of God. But in reality, he hates the whole world. He hates every soul. He has many souls that are under his power and authority, and they are bound by him, but he's not satisfied. He will not be satisfied until he has destroyed the people of God. So we have an enemy that hates us. I want to tell you, it's not the man out there that hates me that affects me. It's the spirit of Satan that is trying to override and overrule the Spirit of God. And verse 18 says, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. You can say, but the Lord was my deliverer. He brought me forth into a large place. Every time I think of a large place, I think of what God's purpose is. He said he would bring us out into a wealthy place. A place of moisture. A place of life. That's his purpose. That's what he does when he delivers us. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me. Because he delighted in me. I'm telling you that God is delighting in his people. He wants to see his people prosper. He wants us to grow in the things of God. He wants us to be victorious because he is the deliverer. And he is delighting in those that trust in him. And those that look to him. And those that are leaning hard upon him. Thank the Lord. And the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. I want to tell you something. There is a reward for the righteous. There is a reward for living righteously in this ungodly world. God has a reward for you and me. But we must lean hard on him. Allow him to deliver us from the pit of hell and from the spirits that are all about me. So he's going to reward me for according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. Thank the Lord. Turn to Psalms 34. And I'm going to read 4 through 9. And it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from what? All of my fears. Do we need deliverance from fear?
Yes.
Absolutely. There is a spirit of fear in the world, and our country is bound by a spirit of fear right now. the things that are being done in our society, the things that are being done in our world to control the people could not be done without fear. You and I need to be delivered from the spirit of fear, and He will do it. We can trust Him. He will help us. He will help you. He will deliver you from the spirit of fear. So He delivered him here in Psalms, delivered me from all of my fears. Verse 6. No, verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Are you going to have troubles? Are you having troubles today? Can you? We can. We can be in trouble today. We can be in sorrow and grief tomorrow. And we can put in here that He will deliver him out of all of his troubles. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them. These are encouraging scriptures.
Yes.
Encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. I want to tell you, God is able to deliver the godly.
Yes.
And we can be delivered from the wrong kind of fear, but we can have a fear of God that's healthy. Thank the Lord.
Yes.
And then he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. Oh, when I think of fear, and I think of, I'm just going to say it. When I'm alone at night, and there's no one else in the house but my dog and me, and I love to have a little vision in my mind of the angels of the Lord encamping around about my place. It comforts me like nothing else. It calms my apprehensions and my fears. God wants to deliver us from tormenting fears. And He can do it, and He will do it. I one time got online, because I had heard these stories. I had read something about them, about missionaries in foreign lands, in violent places, and specifically over there in Africa. A man and his wife were alone in their house, and they knew there were soldiers, natives that were coming to kill them that night. They came, but they turned back. Later, the chief got saved. And so this missionary said to the chief, he says, do you remember this event? Yes, I do. Well, why did you all turn back? He said, there were huge soldiers all around your house. Oh, I just love that story. There's other accounts like that too. This is real.
Amen.
God wants to deliver us from the very spirit of fear, that it cannot control us. Now the next scripture is Psalms 56 and 13. And it says, wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? Do we need God to deliver our feet? Yes. Our feet indicates how we walk, where we walk. We have a little song that the children sometimes sing, and be careful little hands what you do. Be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears. But it includes the feet. Be careful little feet where you go. I want to tell you, God can help us and deliver our feet, that we not be in paths of failure, of falling. Thank the Lord. So this scripture says, and it's a question, wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God? Oh, thank the Lord, He can guide our footsteps. He can guide our path. He can deliver us from going in paths of destruction. Yes. The enemy has paths of destruction set for your feet and my feet. They're snares and they're traps. And he would love to get you in a place and cause you to fall. But the answer to this question, can he do it? Can he deliver my feet? Absolutely. If we let him. I want to tell you, we have to let God deliver us. We have to let God give us power and grace to overcome. We have to let him be our deliverer. Thank the Lord. So through all of these scriptures, there's deliverances of every sort. I wish we could be here and name everyone out, but you know, each one of us will have a different place of deliverance. We will each one experience a deliverance. We come here on Wednesday night and maybe we're just testifying to some time, and I'm not condemning this at all, superficial things. When we might ought to start saying, the Lord delivered me from a temptation. Let's go now to that scripture that we started out with. That he knows how to deliver the godly. What is the next part? Out of temptation. He knows how to deliver the godly from temptations that are out there in the world. But we have to let him do it. Okay, now I want to go to James, the 5th chapter, and verse 11. Because I want us to think about Job now, just a little bit. And that particular verse says, ye have heard of the patience of Job, and ye have seen the end of the Lord. That's what we want to look at. What was the end of the Lord? What is the end of the Lord in your deliverances? When he has delivered you from a place of destruction, what was the end of it? It was victory. It was courage. It was grace. It was power. Oh, sometimes we get too caught up in the what it feels like. And when I say what it feels like, we get too caught up in maybe the wound or the hurt or the disappointment. We get focused upon those kind of things, and then we have to cry for deliverance, but we sometimes focus a little too much still on the hurt. We've got to look away from those things. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and he will deliver you. I remember many years ago, I was going through a very hurtful place. And I want to tell you, don't expect to not go through hurtful places. It's part of our crown, our winning our crown. I couldn't get this off of my mind. I couldn't turn loose of it. I was at Monarch, staying in my camper, and I was isolating myself. I would go to the services, and I would walk back between the cabins and go to my camper and wouldn't talk to anybody. And I'd spend time praying, Lord, help me to forget this hurt. Help me to turn this loose. And I was saying, Lord, give me a door. I thought if we could just put this thing behind the door and close it, I could forget it. One day, after praying and isolating myself, the Lord spoke to me and he says, I give you a chalkboard. You can erase it. It's out of your sight. To this day, I cannot remember what the hurt was. Because he delivered me. The enemy wants to take hurts and wounds and turn them into unforgiveness and bitterness. And then my soul is damned. If I can't forgive, I can't be saved. God has deliverance of every sort. Thank the Lord. I cannot praise him enough for all that he has done for me. So let's think about Job. Job was, the scripture said, we've seen the end of the Lord. Well, we've all seen the beginning. We can read the book of Job and you know exactly his beginning. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of it. Job's character, he was a perfect man. He was upright, he feared God, and he hated evil. Oh, don't you admire someone that has that kind of character? Not only that, he was a family man. He carried a burden for his children. He made sacrifices just in case his children were committing some kind of sin in their banquets. That was part of his burden. We carry burdens for our children. And it said that he was a wealthy man. You have to read between the lines, but he was a wealthy man. He had just about anything as much as you would desire. It does not appear at all that he set his heart on any of his wealth. Then one day, he lost it all. He lost all of his 10 children. And he lost all of his wealth. Now, ever how many days that took, or ever whatever time span, I don't know. But it happened. And this is what he said. It said, the word of the Lord said, Job worshiped God, blessed his name, and said, the Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can't get much better than that. Then he became sorely afflicted from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, and his wife discouraged him and said, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, that's foolishness. Shall we only receive good and not evil from the Lord? We're still talking about deliverance. If you read the book of Job, you know he got in a very low place. He questioned even why he was born. He even said he wished he hadn't been born. So that the enemy took him to a low place. So the key scripture now that I want to leave with you from Job, Job 5 and 19, he shall deliver in 6 troubles, yea, in 7, there shall no evil touch thee. Did he believe it? We have to go to the end of the Lord in this. I want to read, though, in the end of Job, in the last chapter. And I'm going to just read a few verses out of it, 1 and 2, 5, 10, and 12, just to get a picture of the end, the deliverance. You see, God allowed Job to get into that place. He allowed it. Does God sometimes allow some troubles in our life? He does. But we don't want to turn against him. We don't want to charge him. We would be charging God foolishly if we questioned, why are you allowing this in my life? So the verse here says, verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. Do you believe that? I do. I want us all to be encouraged that God can do everything. Every sort of deliverance. And then it says that no thought can be withholden from thee. Then verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I like that one, don't you? And then I'm going down to verse 10. And it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That's the end of the Lord. He delivered him. He brought him out into a wealthy place, into a place of moisture, into a good place. But he had to pass through all of the hard places to know the deliverance of God. And the last one is verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Thank the Lord. Let's go to the 116th chapter of Psalms now. And we want to look at a few verses out of there, 2 through 4, 6, 8, and 9. And this is one of my favorite chapters. It always reminds me of a deliverance that the Lord gave me. God is very mindful of you and me. This was in 1981, and I had been in the wreck and had a number of injuries, and my body wouldn't heal. And now when I'm telling this, I am not putting judgment on anyone else. This is how the Lord dealt with me, okay? But my arm would not heal. It was this arm. And they just took the cast off, and the bones were too far apart. They would not heal. They were healing on each end. And I went to several doctors just trying to get somebody to put a cast on my arm. But they wouldn't do it. They said, the only thing that's left is surgery. So we went to the pastor, Brother Ed, Brother Souter, and they knew how that I had been raised. And God wanted to work something in me. And so he didn't allow it to be healed. And I had the surgery. I have a plate in this arm with 6 screws and a bone graft. And after it was done, Brother Souter said, you know, you deal with God afterwards. If you feel like that you failed God, go to God. I felt like I failed God because I thought that I had faith for my arm to be healed. And you've heard me tell the story that I would have taken pride in that kind of healing. Nobody knew but God what was in my mind, but I would say, the saints were fasting for my arm to be healed. And I'd say, oh, when I go to camp meeting and I raise that arm in song, the camp is going to shout. That's pride. But I never said it to anyone. Only God knew what was in my mind. And he knew if he healed me in spite of my pride, he could never have dealt with me about anything in my life again. So in the mix of all of this, one Sunday morning, Lauren and the girls came to church. I was cooking and I was going to come after Sunday school, and I didn't have keys. And so I'm there, stuck at home. And I said, well, I hadn't given up God, but I didn't have the peace. This is the chapter that the Lord gave me. And all the way down through here, it says, I will take the cup of salvation. I will pay my vows in the land of the living, in the presence of the people. I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's just all down through there. And the Lord just spoke to me and he said, you can have salvation if you will. And I got down before the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm not sure how I failed, but I feel like I did. And I repented. And the peace of God came back. But it was later that the Lord began to open up to me why he would not heal me, could not heal me. And it was a lesson that has gone with me all the way down through my life. Trust God and get the answer from God why he is not doing something, because he will show us. So this is the chapter, and it has a lot of meaning to me. But I'm not going to read every verse. I'm going to do verses 2 through 4 and 6, 8, and 9. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. What did it say next? Deliver me. Then skip down to verse 6, verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I want to tell you, this is a message of deliverance. God delivered me that day, set my feet on a highway, and it was the most valuable lesson I ever learned. Let God set your feet on the highway. Oh, it can be a precious experience. So we want to go to 2 Peter now, 2 and 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Oh, I want to know, want you to know, God knows you more than you know yourself. He knows those thoughts afar off. You may not say the words to anyone else, and God's done that for me a number of times. He knows my thoughts. He knows what's best for me. Thank the Lord. But he knows how to deliver us out of temptation. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Believe it. The enemy may set traps and snares, but God is seeing tomorrow. He knows about tomorrow. And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. He will preserve us. And our final scripture is really two scriptures in two different books. And I used it in the last two messages. And I feel like that the Lord is just beginning to open up part of it to me. The first portion of this verse is in Isaiah 37 and 26. And the second part is Deuteronomy 6 and 23. And I'm going to read them together as though they are one. Hast thou not heard how I have done it? Have you ever heard from others, how God has delivered them. If he has done it for others, he will do it for you. He will do it for me. So hast thou not heard how I have done it? Now, if you're reading that verse, you're going to find I left out some phrases there because I'm connecting some special phrases together. Now we go to the next verse. He brought us out that he might bring us in. Have you ever read that verse? Oh, I want to tell you, when the Lord opened that up to me this last couple of weeks, God is bringing you and I out of places that he might bring us in to his kingdom. What a glorious scripture. Don't kick back to those places when the Lord is trying to work with you and temper you and shape you and mold you and fashion you. We use those words a lot. But he is the potter and you and I are the clay. And he knows how to help us. And he knows how to deliver us. Thank the Lord. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I thank the Lord that there is not anything that I know of that he cannot deliver us from. Doesn't matter what it is. You may think, oh, I've gone too far. No, you haven't gone too far. God is able to deliver. Thank the Lord. Amen.